I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
Ramondre Stevenson, man. Talk about a guy who got you to the dance. But when you get to the dance, he couldn't come through. He was averaging almost 7 targets per game, and then all of a sudden in week 14, that dropped to 3 targets, 3 targets, 5 targets, 4 targets, and he had a total of 10 receiving yards over the last 4 weeks. Like, this is what he has, this is how his floor has remained so high all year, the receiving usage, and it literally disappeared over the last 4 weeks. And this is not something I was expecting at all for him. You know, also Damian Harris severely cut into his workload in this game. It does seem like the workload, you know, throughout the whole season might have caught up to him a little bit. He did talk about that, like that he is feeling it, you know, all the work, you know, throughout the season. But he's also made some questionable mistakes the last 2 weeks, right? With the lateral 2 weeks ago to Jacoby Myers, like he could have just went down. And then last week he lost that fumble at the goal line to lose the game against Cleveland. So that wasn't good either, right? So was it Cleveland? Was it Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, right.
That's right. So not great. So he just couldn't come through. I mean, he was awesome all year long. So, and he probably got you to the playoffs, but hopefully he was able to, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully he was able to, you know, kind of sneak his way through to a championship if you had some other guys come through for you.
I'm not worried about Ramondre Stevenson. I think long term, you know, I think next season he's going to be just fine in the with the Patriots. I don't think he's falling out of favor with Bill Belichick or anything. Damian Harris did come back. Yeah, obviously it doesn't help when you fumble the game away, you know, and you have questionable mistakes like that. But I don't think this is like any form of punishment. You know, the Patriots were playing pretty comfortably against Miami, especially once Teddy Bridgewater went out. But I think that this is just, you know, one of the less inspiring storylines at the end of the fantasy season, because over the, between weeks 5 and 11, you know, he had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, between weeks 5 and 12, 5 top 10 performances. Since week 13, he has 1. And then the rest are lower than RB 40, except for one where he finishes RB 18 against Buffalo. So it's like, this was a terrible fall off. I don't think you saw this coming. I didn't see this coming. You know, so why this happened, you can't really be sure, but it looks like it's just tough. You know, this is one of the things you can't really project. That's just the way it fell for Ramondre Stevenson. And like I said, I'm not worried about him next season. Are you worried about next season?
Am I worried about him? There's definitely questions in terms of what kind of workload he's going to get, right? Are they going to bring in somebody who is a better pass catcher? Right? Like, will they have somebody to compliment him on later downs? If Ty Montgomery never got hurt early in the season, would he even have gotten this role? Would he even have gotten the opportunity to take over that role? Not to say that he's not a better pass catcher than Ty Montgomery. That's not the point, right? The point is that, you know, would he even have gotten the opportunity? So I think there's some questions. Is Damian Harris a free agent?
I think he's a free agent. Yeah,
well, let me just confirm.
If he was a 2019 pick, he should be a free agent.
He's set to be a free agent. Yeah, so you know there is a path for Ramondre to get this a similar role than he got this year. You know, Bill Belichick showed no hesitation to give him 90% of snaps in a bunch of games this year, and that never happens.
Yeah,
you know, with a Bill Belichick running back. So he obviously likes Stevenson, but, you know, he couldn't come through when it mattered most. You know, I'm just, as we're talking about it, I'm thinking about the trades that I made in our league.
Yeah.
Okay. And I traded some studs away. You know, obviously I want studs in turn also.
Yep.
But the studs that I traded away was Ramondre Stevenson, Tony Pollard, Chris Olave, Juju.
All right.
Juju might not be a stud.
Three of four of them, I'd say, are not studs. Studs. When I think stud, I think like Stephon Diggs. I mean, before the season, you would have said Mike Evans. But, you know, even Chris Godwin, I'd say, is a stud. Juju, not so much.
Well, when I traded them,
they were. Yeah, I guess they were on a hot streak. Yeah, you could say that.
Chris Olave, when I traded him, was probably at his peak. And he was a high. He was being ranked as a high end wide receiver, too, at that time.
Right.
But my point of me bringing that up is that I got really lucky in terms of Ramondre shit in the bed championship week.
Yep.
Tony Pollard not even playing championship week. Juju shit in the bed championship week. And Chris Olave also, you know, obviously he fizzled out a big time, right, on that offense. So, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, you just got to get lucky, you know. And a lot of studs didn't come through this week, right? So you could have the best team on paper, but like if they don't come through, you know, you have no control over that. You never know what's going to happen. So whether you win or lose, there's going to be some sort of luck involved, right? Like this week, you know, my opponent had a couple guys who just didn't do well, right? He had Juju in his lineup. He had, you know, a couple other guys who didn't come through, and, you know, guys I was afraid of. Like he had DK Metcalf going up against the Jets. So, you know, a lot of things can happen, you know, that, you know, you're looking at a really good team, but you're like, man, like my guys didn't come through, right?
Yeah.
So one guy that did come through for me this week, though, was Travis Etienne, right?
Right.
Once the Jaguars were up, though, that was it for him. only 38% of snaps.
He
did his work. He still gave you what you need, right? Like 140 yards and only 12 touches. You know, he had that long touchdown, but he could have had like a 35-point game. Right, if this game was competitive at all.
Yeah, this was interesting for me because the Texans took a bunch of teams down the wire. They went on a streak of taking the Cowboys down the wire in a game they should have won, going against the Chiefs and having a shot against them. It was down to the wire, then beating the Titans outright. I was expecting this to be close, at least relatively close, just because it's a divisional matchup. You know, obviously the Jaguars didn't need this, but it was just a shellacking. We thought this would be a good day for Travis Etienne. And by any rate, it was. Absolutely could have been bigger against this defense. Snoop Connor had that one touchdown. You know, good for him. But if that would have gone to Travis Etienne, you know, that might have made the difference in some people's leagues. But it absolutely could have and should have been a bigger game for Travis Etienne. It's just, it wasn't close at all. So I was a bit disappointed, even though it's probably difficult to be disappointed in the Texans because they're pretty low right now. I was a bit disappointed by the performance they put up because they didn't even hang with the Jaguars at all. One thing I did note, though, Travis Etienne obviously doing very well, is that the Jaguars look really, really good. You know, they're leaving no doubt at this point in these games that they played these last few weeks. The way the Titans are playing, the way the Jags are playing, they should be cruising, you know, to a divisional championship at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because, like, a lot of their guys didn't come through. Like, the Jaguars pass catchers,
Evan Engram, you know, nothing.
Including Evan Engram, which I was kind of surprised about. Like, maybe if this was a more competitive game, they could have got it done. But we knew that Zay Jones and Christian Kirk had tough matchups, so we were off of them this week.
Yeah.
But I thought Evan Engram was going to come through because of it, because Houston hasn't been great against tight ends. So I thought he was going to be the target funnel in this game. But they didn't really need to pass it a whole lot. And, you know, also on top of that, like, they pulled Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Like, so he wasn't in the game for a big chunk of it. That definitely affected that as well. So it kind of sucks that, you know, the Jaguars didn't have a whole lot of reason to keep their starters in once they were up. But, you know, it is what it is. Evan Engram, he was having a huge year, you know, especially at the end of the year. And then he couldn't come through when it mattered most. Let me ask you about Travis Etienne. Is he somebody that you're going to be targeting next season?
I think you have to at this point. Because now, I mean, there's no question. Like, coming in this season, we're like, how is James Robinson going to factor into this? You know, obviously he's not on the team anymore. And I don't think they're going to draft anybody that's going to be, you know, enough worth consideration that we have to think twice about Travis Etienne. I'm not taking Travis Etienne as, like, a high-end RB1.
Right.
But I'd take him as an RB1. I could see him sneaking into the first round, you know, especially the way this offense has looked. If they continue to look good in the playoffs, which I think they're going to make, and if they add more weapons, you know, in the draft or something like that, or they get better on the offense, which I'm assuming is going to happen. Doug Peterson has him playing very well. I think Travis Etienne, we're looking at a back end first round selection for Travis Etienne. He has a really nice upside. He just needs to see more touches. Obviously, the only thing that was concerning this year was the workload. It wasn't always there. I want to see that he can get that and maintain that over, you know, a longer span than he did this season. But I think regardless, you know, if you're shooting for upside, if you're going to be drafting for upside, which you always are, especially in the first round, Travis Etienne's going to be an attractive pick.
He, you know, I have two concerns with Etienne. The first one is that he's not extremely involved in the pass game. Actually, that is the only concern that I have with him. He wasn't extremely involved in the pass game. That was like, you know, three targets a game. He does catch them, right? But like, wasn't overly involved in this offense. So that's a little bit concerning.
You think that can change? I feel like it can.
It can, but we have no evidence that it will.
That's fair.
Right? Yeah, and that would be my concern. I don't think there's one thing that you can point to that would lead me to believe that he'll get more targets next year. Can it happen? Sure. But we just won't know why. You know what I'm saying?
I guess with Trevor Lawrence, it is a downfield attacking offense.
We had a huge sample this year with Etienne playing 90% of snaps. So if you're on the field for every passing down, you're running around on almost every passing play, that is enough for me to say, like, okay, you should get targets. And he got less than expected. So not ideal.
But you do say that, you know, if he is on the field and running those routes, there's definitely room for improvement. And you can't ever rule that out completely. So if you're taking an optimistic view with it, you know, his catches could go up. His targets could go up.
It can.
Yeah.
It can. Yeah. My concern is, like, within a large sample size of you running as many routes as you are, if you're not getting targeted, it's a little concerning for me. Now, I love Etienne because he is an electric playmaker, right? Yeah. Like,
did you see him on that touchdown? Over.
Yeah. He knew
nobody was catching.
I feel like as soon as he touched the ball, as soon as he got the handoff, he knew. Because he hit that hole, boom, out.
Yeah.
He's an explosive playmaker. And that's and on top of that, being on a probably improved offense next year, I think he could be an RB1 pretty easily. I would assume that he's not going to go in the first round. If I had to guess right now, I would think he's a mid to late second round pick, which I would be ecstatic about that price. I have a feeling that's where his ADP will end up. But yeah, no, I think that there is room for him to be a high upside RB1. If his pass catching goes up a little bit, and if this offense takes a step forward, I wouldn't be surprised if he's top five next year, if he finishes top five.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either.
He has that upside.
Yeah, we've been saying that all season.
Zach, I made another last-minute lineup change in our league yesterday.
Yeah.
I picked up Jamal Williams on waivers because my opponent this week dropped him early on in the week, maybe because of the possibility of the knee injury, right? But also because Jamal hasn't really been doing his thing lately, right? His last big game was in week 11, but he was off the injury report this week. They were playing the Bears. So I picked him up just in case, right? See if I could want to make a last-minute decision. So I had the option to throw him in my flex over Hollywood Brown. And this is a PPR league, right? So it took some cojones for me. And I'm not even lying, okay? Number one, I saw him dancing pregame. Okay, the NFL account on Twitter, they put out a video of Jamal dancing pregame. And I'm just like, yo, this guy looks so relaxed right now. Like, I just feel like he's going to have, like, a good game. I'm not even joking, okay?
Sometimes this is what this it comes down to for fantasy
football. This is my process of, like, how to figure out what the tiebreaker is going to be between two guys, okay? His vibe just captivated me, okay? And you know, you already know Jamal Williams is one of my favorite players in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
So, and then number two, Justin Jackson was inactive. So I'm like, okay, I thought I needed upside because the team I was going up against, like Richard's team is a good team, right? So like, I'm like, all right, you know what? Hollywood Brown, how much upside does he really have with Colt McCoy? I'm sorry, not even with Colt McCoy. With
David Blough? David Blough? Is that his name? Like, I don't even know how you pronounce his last
David
name.
Blough.
He's played like on a bunch of different teams, started a couple different times. I haven't figured out how to say his last name.
David Bling Blough. Bling Blough is
David
his name.
David Bling Blough. Yeah. Okay.
Bling Blough. And so Justin Jackson was inactive. So I thought I needed some upside. And last minute, I pulled Hollywood out of my flex and I put Jamal in. 22 carries for 144 yards and a touchdown. That might have been the move that won me my championship. Because if I didn't do that, if I didn't do that, going into tonight, it would have been 50-50.
You'd be down 1 point. And it would come down to Joe Burrow just outright outscoring Joe Mixon. Which still,
obviously,
I like those odds.
I would have the upper hand there, I think.
Yeah.
But you never know, right? Joe Mixon could score 2 touchdowns and outscore
a lot more than you are right
now.
I
would be sweating 100%. 100%.
It's funny too, because Jamal Williams had that type of game and DeAndre Swift got it done too. You know, just hilarious. I couldn't believe that. Maybe I could have believed it. But you know, you talk about the way he scored those points, which you can get into. It is pretty insane as far as, you know, logistically how much he was on the field and the amount of points he put up.
We talked about, you know, how good Travis Etienne looks when he gets the ball.
Yeah.
No one looks as good with the ball in their hands more than DeAndre Swift. Like,
no.
He looks so good. Like, when he gets the ball in his hands, like, he's like butter out there, dude. Like,
yeah.
The game just seems so easy for him. He scored 27 PPR fantasy points on only 35% of snaps. He's like the only running back in the league where that's possible. And I checked, by the way. Only Jerick McKinnon is above him in fantasy points per touch this season.
Right. Like, and this is why it makes me so upset to see them use him the way that they do. Obviously, he produced despite the workload that he had this week. But he just looks so good with the ball in his hands. I can't believe they don't use him more than they do. DeAndre Swift deserves a higher workload. And obviously, Jamal Williams is good. Yes, he had 22 carries. Jamal Williams is worthy of that workload. But DeAndre Swift, you just have to get him the ball more. Like, what? And obviously, he was inactive in this game. Justin Jackson should be an afterthought. When you have these two guys in the backfield, like, why are you giving Justin Jackson touches at this point? Obviously, it didn't happen this game. DeAndre Swift came through for you in your championship if you needed it. But, you know, just the way that he produced, like you said, he hardly played and he did this good. Could you imagine if he got like 70% of snaps? Like, what right, would we right. be looking at in fantasy football? This would be a monster of a running back. You know, I think even better, like, rivaling Austin Eckler, rivaling Christian McCaffrey at this point.
100%.
He stays healthy. Like, DeAndre Swift is just ridiculous. And I put it in the graphic here. He's smooth like butter, like you said.
Yeah, he really is, man. You know, and it's one of those now he's going to be one of the biggest conundrums in drafts next year.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about upside? You want to talk about a floor? I think that's going to be a really big discussion.
It's like, what do you do, right? It's almost impossible to figure out what they're going to do with Swift, because you could chalk it up to injury this year, but he's been fine. He hasn't been on the injury report.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough, man. Like, it's tough to figure out, because no matter who is on the field, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not like if Jamal Williams is off, you know, hurt or something like that, you're like, oh, okay, DeAndre Swift is going to get all the work. Like, okay, you don't know that. Right.
No.
Also, it's worth noting that Jamal Williams is going to be a free agent. He's set to be a free agent this offseason. So,
yep.
DeAndre Swift, you know, we'll see. It really depends on what that running back room looks like going into next year. You know,
there's going to be so much at play for DeAndre Swift. Like you said, it's not just injuries. It's the way he was used. Jamal Williams may or may not be there to the people around him. You know, we've seen the production with very minimal snaps. We've seen him go up in snaps and not perform as well. Like, this is a true ceiling floor pick. I don't know. Like, I feel like DeAndre Swift at this point going into next season is a guy I'm only taking if he drops far enough. You know, like, I don't know how much I trust.
It's a risk, man.
Yeah.
It's a risk.
I want to trust him because I'm a big DeAndre Swift guy. You know, I was pretty much this whole season. But I don't know if I could justify him even in the second round. I feel like that's a big risk. And it could pay off, but it could also come back to bite you.
Yeah. I don't think he's going in the second. After this year, I don't see it.
I think he was going in the second, I think. Just this past season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This season, I feel like it, going into the season, I think it was very justified.
It was warranted. Yeah.
Because of how he was used the year before. But yeah. And it's funny because at the end of the day, like, it wasn't injuries at the end of the year that limited him. Or maybe it was that we don't know of. I don't know. We still don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. I don't understand how he would only get like 6 carries a game like he was getting. But, you know.
So he was number 2 in fantasy points per touch this year. Number 1 was Jerick McKinnon. Okay.
Yeah.
And McKinnon was was he the best late season waiver wire pickup?
Yeah. By a mile.
Right?
I don't think it's a question at this point.
Like, my guy had 7 touches in this game, but scored 2 touchdowns through the air. And by the way, since week 14, he's the overall RB1 in PPR.
And that's all pretty much via passing. You know, catching passes. Like, that's it. You know, Jerick McKinnon, this is a guy that wasn't on rosters, like you said, like week 12 Like nobody really had him. You were starting him maybe, you know, just in a bad spot. But since then, he's a touchdown machine. You know, I don't know what the heck happened. Patrick Mahomes just suddenly dialing into him. But, you know, it was another close game against the Broncos. So they had to keep their foot on the pedal. And that was good news for Jerick McKinnon. But it doesn't look like it matters whether Jerick McKinnon gets 10 targets and 8 catches or 3 targets and 2 catches. Like he's liable to score a touchdown pretty much every time. He's scoring a ton of points on not a whole lot of work. You know, you look at it, he had what? Was it 7 touches on 8? Yeah. 2 touchdowns on that. He's a touchdown machine. He is the waiver wire pickup, obviously, of the season, I think, at this point. I mean, you could maybe make a case for a guy like Kenneth Walker, but like in the circumstances that you're probably going into, you know, especially with the fantasy playoffs, it started week 14 or 15, right? Like this is a guy that has been doing it for you ever since you picked him up, and hopefully you got your hands on him. When you picked him up, you probably didn't feel like it was a big steal. I mean, unless you got him after that 30-point, the first 30 of two 30-point performances. I picked him up before that. It didn't really feel like much of a steal, but he's been getting it done. It looks great. Like, I'm not sure how much we can trust him next season, but he's doing his thing this season. That's all that matters.
I can't wait to see who the Chiefs draft at running back this year.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting to see. And he's going to be overdrafted, of course.
Is there anybody that you're eyeing up that you think would be an ideal fit maybe coming out of this draft?
Not yet. Not yet, because I haven't really gone in yet on these running backs just yet. But I cannot wait to do that. That's like my favorite thing to do. I love looking at these prospects and then, you know, sizing them up and figuring out where they fit and like what their skill set is. And honestly, man, the last 2 years, I think I've done a pretty good job in terms of evaluating these guys. Like a lot of the running back sleepers who I, you know, kind of picked out, like a lot of them been coming through, man. And when they get opportunity, they've been doing their thing. So I'm looking forward to doing it again.
I think one of those guys was Tyler Allgeier, right? I think you had him as a sleeper. So there you go. You can hit on that one because he had another good week this week.
Hell yeah, man. Now we have a two-week sample size of him being the lead back for the Falcons, right? 20 for 83 in this game and a touchdown. I want to know what his price is going to be like next year. Like, I'm really curious of where he's going to land. Like, I would think it's going to be in the middle rounds, but we'll see. I don't know. Cordarrelle Patterson, like, most likely will be back next year. I was looking at his salary, $3.75 million in dead cap if they cut him, but his salary is only $4.25. So I don't think it would really make much sense to cut him, in my opinion. But Allgeier was one of my sleeper running backs in this class. One of the reasons why I liked him is because last year, you know, highest yards after contact per attempt. And guess what? Among all running backs, rookie running backs this year, Allgeier has the highest yards after contact per attempt among all these this year's rookie running backs, including Kenneth Walker, including, you know, actually, so Breece Hall, if he had 100 rushing attempts, maybe he would have eclipsed that. But
Breece Hall. Yeah, no,
70 rushing attempts. You know, what kind of sucks, though, with the Breece Hall situation? I'm honestly going to be avoiding him next year.
Do you think Donovan Knight has carved out a role?
No. It's all because of the ACL.
Oh, okay.
It's all because of the ACL. The year after ACL injuries, I just learned to just avoid these running backs. And as much as I love Breece Hall, dude. You know?
Especially as guy on your team, too. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, we've seen this story before with a lot of good running backs the year after an ACL. It's just like, I'm just avoiding.
Yeah.
Saquon, J.K. Dobbins. You know, it's just, you know, we were avoiding J.K. Dobbins this year for a reason. And, you know, there was multiple reasons for that besides the ACL with J.K. Dobbins. But even with Saquon, I was high on Saquon the year after his ACL because I just thought he was a freak.
Yeah.
But if someone like Saquon isn't going to be able to do it, I just feel like the only person who was ever able to do it was Adrian Peterson, right?
And
that's like a sample size of one the year after having a monster year. So, yeah, I think Breece Hall is going to end up being drafted high. I think, unfortunately, I'm going to avoid a redraft, obviously.
And to go back, obviously, we're talking about Breece Hall. I'll get back to that. But Tyler Allgeier, kind of just hitting on him real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, like you said, he'll be the later round running back. I think he's going to be a dead zone running back. And he's kind of going to remind me.
I can see it.
Not, obviously, not the situation of J.K. Dobbins. It's not like he's coming off an injury at this point. But I could see him being valued the same way. You know, kind of like a low RB2 with upside. You know, maybe he's good, maybe he's not. But if Cordarrelle Patterson's still there, I'm not super excited about his upside. So I think he's going to fall in the dead zone, and you might be able to get away with taking him. He might be a value. Obviously, we'll see how the offense looks going into next season. The offensive line did get better in Atlanta, but with Breece Hall, yeah, it sucks because I actually forgot about Breece Hall until you just mentioned him. I'm not sure if I'm going to be targeting him either. He's not going to be like, you know, like I have a pinpoint on him. Like I want to pick up Breece Hall. You know, that's the way he's going to be. We saw J.K. Dobbins. He was supposed to be ready, I think, for the beginning of the season. And then his recovery didn't go as good as it could have been. You know, he ended up coming back really late. We got to see, even if Breece Hall does make a full recovery, you know, there's a chance that he might not be ready for the first couple of weeks. So there's all that risk baked into it. That's going to cause his price to drop. At the right price, he might end up being a value, but do you think his ceiling is like relatively low? He's not going to be close to what he was doing this season.
I would say so. I think, I don't know if it's relatively low, but I would say that it's not as high as what his ceiling could be. You know, I don't think he has top five upside, you know, and if I'm going to be drafting a running back in like the top two or three rounds, like I want them to have top five upside.
All right. So you don't think
I'm taking a wide receiver.
Yeah. So you don't think he has top five, you know, season long upside, but like a weekly.
Not next year. I don't.
Okay. Do you think he would have
weekly?
Top
five? Of course. I guess you could
say that for anybody.
I mean, Jerick McKinnon, you know, is hitting like top five, like every
case
week.
In point. Yeah.
If Breece Hall, like just seeing what he did in his limited sample size this year and what kind of prospect he was, if you didn't have an ACL injury, he would be a mid first round pick for me in fantasy if he didn't tear his ACL.
I think so.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.